What is poetry? Is the answer hidden somewhere? Is it one of those answers locked in a box and nobody has the key? There are such questions and answers. One time a man reading a newspaper clipped a poem written by a small boy in a school in New York City. The lines read, "There stands the elephant. Bold and strong, there he stands chewing his food. We are strengthless against his strength." And the man has kept this poem for many years. He has a feeling the boy did a good, honest piece of writing. The boy stood wondering and thinking before the biggest four-legged animal on earth today. And the boy put his wonder and thought, his personal human secret, a touch of man's fear in the wilderness, into the 19 words of his poem. He asked, "What does the elephant do to me when I look at him? What is my impression of the elephant?" Then he answered his own questions. "There stands the elephant, bold and strong. There he stands chewing his food. We are strengthless against his strength." Once there was a boy who went to school and learned that any two-legged animal is a biped. And he said, "Here I have been a biped all the time and I didn't know it." So there are people sometimes who talk poetry without writing it, but they don't know they are talking poetry. And every child, every boy and girl, sometimes has poetry in his head and heart, even though it does not get written. Once there was a wee curly-headed boy tugged at a corn stalk, tugged till he pulled the corn stalk up all by himself and told about it to his father, who said, "Well, I guess you're getting to be a pretty strong boy now." And the boy answered, "I guess I am. The whole earth had a hold of the other end of the corn stalk and was pulling against me." Now, should we say this boy had imagination and what he told his father was so keen and alive it could be called poetry? Perhaps he was a poet without knowing it, just like the boy who was a biped without knowing it. Should children write poetry? Yes, whenever they feel like it. If nothing else happens, they will find it a training for writing and speaking in other fields of human work and play. No novelist, no storyteller has been a worse writer for having practiced at poetry. Many a playwright, historian, essayist, editorial writer could have improved his style by experimenting with poetry. At what age should a child begin writing poetry? Any age. Poems are made of words, and when a child is learning to talk, to shape words on its tongue, is a proper time for it to speak poetry, if it can. Does it help a child poet to have praise for his poems? The child should be told that poetry is first of all for the poet, that great poets usually die saying their best work did not get written. Perhaps it is wise for every child to be told that it is a mistake for either a child or a grown-up accomplished artist to be satisfied with any past performance. Once, a little girl showed to a friend a poem she had written. "Why didn't you make it longer?" asked the friend. "I could have," she answered. "I could have, but then it wouldn't have been a poem." She meant she left something in the air for the reader of the poem to linger over, as any of us do over a rose, or a sunset, or a face. Roses, sunsets, faces have mystery. If we could explain them, then after having delivered our explanations, we could say, "Take it from me, that's all there is to it, and there's no use your going any further, for I've told you all there is and there isn't any more." If poems could be explained, then poets would have to leave out roses, sunsets, faces from their poems. Yet it seems that for thousands of years, poets have been writing about roses, sunsets, faces, because they have mystery, significance, and a heavy or light beauty, an appeal, a lesson, and a symbolism that stays with us long as we live. It was something like this in the heart of the philosopher who declared, "What can be explained is not poetry. What can be explained is not poetry." Buffalo dusk. The buffaloes are gone, and those who saw the buffaloes are gone. Those who saw the buffaloes by thousands, and how they pawed the prairie sod into dust with their hoofs, their great heads down, pawing on in a great pageant of dusk. Those who saw the buffaloes are gone, and the buffaloes are gone. Fezag. This face you got, this here fezag you carry around, you never picked it out for yourself at all, did you? This here fezag, somebody handed it to you, am I right? Somebody said, "Here's yours, now go see what you can do with it." Somebody slipped it to you, and it was like a package marked, "No goods exchanged after being taken away." This face you got. Primer lesson. Look out how you use proud words. When you let proud words go, it is not easy to call them back. They wear long boots, hard boots. They walk off proud. They can't hear you calling. Look out how you use proud words. Young sea. The sea is never still. It pounds on the shore, restless as a young heart, hunting. The sea speaks, and only the stormy hearts know what it says. It is the face of a rough mother speaking. The sea is young. One storm cleans all the hoar and looses the age of it. I hear it laughing, reckless. They love the sea, men who ride on it, and know they will die under the salt of it. "Let only the young come," says the sea. "Let them kiss my face and hear me. I am the last word, and I tell where storms and stars come from."